Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Soap Dish Salem Style. This week I've got Ari with me. I'm your host, Tony Ann. Say hello.
Hi.
All right, we've got no news, so we're just going to jump right on into our critical cases. First things first, would help if I have the right outline open. The aftermath of Colin's mess continues. Jada tries to see if Talia was abused while Colin escapes from the hospital. I really enjoyed the Jada Talia stuff. And I feel like they're laying the groundwork to potentially do a battered woman syndrome defense for Talia. I don't know if they'll be successful at it, but I feel like that's going to be the way they pivot her out of this and keep her around since we know that's what they're doing.
It's definitely giving those vibes for me. And I like that Jada pointed out that being in an abusive relationship doesn't have to be physical. It can be.
Thank you for bringing that up because it was the way she said that. She was like, "You and I both know that there's more to abuse than just physical abuse," which that ding dong opened the door in my head. Okay, how abusive was their mother?
I'm thinking it's either it could be that or it could be her ex-husband,
That.
Jada's ex. So
Because I don't think it's Marcus. And if they decide to say it is, that's massive character assassination, and I rebuke it.
yeah.
So I'm going with that it could potentially be their mother, which could also explain why neither one of them have mentioned her.
I
They've
mean,
both mentioned Marcus, they have never mentioned their mother.
like, it's not completely unreasonable that it could be, but I'm not too sure who it is, but I feel like it's at least someone either of them know. So it could be their mom, it could be her ex-husband. I guess we'll see if they dive into that or not. But
I
I'm
want them to.
yeah, same. But I'm glad that Jada pointed that out.
Yeah.
It's
And
very obvious that their relationship was abusive,
oh, yeah.
and
And it was obvious even while this entire thing was happening. It's part of why the story skeeved us out so bad.
yeah, you could tell how he continued to like manipulate her, and she was not feeling it. She did not really want to go forward, but she was still terrified of him.
Yeah. And you could, and I think we, Michael and I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast, or you and I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast, but the apple did not fall far from the father's tree at this point, because I very much feel like this is exactly what the professor was like with Chanel.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
And honestly, Jada and Talia together were honestly one of the strongest parts of the entire, of this entire story for me, because Talia is, despite everything she did, Talia is the reason why I give even half a flying fuck about this story.
Yeah,
She,
I really feel for Talia, 'cause
I do
she.
too.
Go ahead.
As frustrating as it is that she's defending this piece of garbage, you
It's,
understand why.
yeah.
It's clearly battered woman, Stockholm syndrome, whatever you want to call it,
And
she's clearly.
it's very realistic too, because a lot of like women who have been in either physical or psychological abusive relationships will end up blaming themselves for whatever is happening. So it's realistic.
Yeah, and
I
I.
don't trust the show to do this well if they're gonna dive into it more. But there's something there that I'm sensing that, like you said, it could be like their mother had been abusive, or Jada's ex-husband. We don't know.
And it could explain why Jada hasn't really opened up much beyond Marcus.
Yeah.
Because it's been a giant point of contention on this podcast for everyone involved that we don't know that much about Jada. Well, if there's a big family history of abuse that she doesn't want to get into on her mom's side, I can see her keeping quiet about that.
Yeah. I guess we'll see.
We will indeed. Now to talk about the other part of this, Colin escaping from the hospital. Would I tell you I don't care? Do not care. I wish he had died when he fell off that roof.
Girl, same.
Because like the actor at this point is fucking terrible. Like there's no saving it. He is unpleasant to look at.
He needs to go see Doug
Yes.
at this point.
I don't care. I don't care. Having Leo be the one to find him definitely did not make me care because there are issues with Leo's character. Like, and I'll say this more when we get to in other news, but like at this point, if this is all you have for Leo Stark to do, then please show him the door.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have anything to add about Colin. It's Salem, but it's still stupid that he managed to ex escape from the hospital like that.
Oh, I'm not shocked because the hospital security has not
I
been shit for
know.
as long as I've been alive. So, like, I'm not even shocked by that at this point. I just don't know what the fuck he's still doing in Salem. Like, you're leave. Just leave.
Yeah. He's stupid. This part of the story is something I do not care for. I don't care about him at all.
No. And the only reason I care about Sloane has nothing to do with him. I don't think there's anything else to really discuss here. Now we can kind of move on to the other big what the fuck moment of the week for me involving this story. Abe wakes up from his surgery with amnesia and is kidnapped by a nurse who makes him believe they are married. So she's pretending to be Paulina. He has amnesia and doesn't know any better. And this woman essentially kidnapped him and has taken him home with all of her stuffed cats. And I'm just confused because I don't even think this woman was a nurse because I feel like this woman is like an Abe Carver super fan and was maybe going to try to kill Colin for what he did to Abe because it did not feel like she was a legit nurse.
I actually enjoy it. It has potential, but it
Oh,
feels
I'm enjoying it, but it's so odd.
it's so random. Like it came out of nowhere, and we don't know what her end game is. Like we can't even we're not even able to like tie it together into this story, if that makes sense. Like she, maybe if we had like signs or something that she was working for Colin.
Or even if there's something. If there was something left out of all of the stuff that happened with Chanel and Paulina that they attributed to Colin, the office break-in, the drugging, the texts, all of that stuff. If something could have been like maybe the office break-in and or something wasn't necessarily him, and something was her, and we find out that Abe has had like a stalker this whole time, but
But
he didn't say.
again, what would have been the motive? Because it's still random.
It doesn't always make sense, but they should have dropped little hints along the way that Abe had something going on. Like maybe there's all of a sudden tightened security around him because the mayor's office has received a couple of extra threats. So there's, a couple little things just here and there to kind of make this make sense so that when this happened, we can kind of see it coming.
Yeah. But I have
Because
go ahead.
I didn't see it coming. I'm not enjoying it. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm just very confused.
Me too. But I am enjoying it. It's so campy.
And
But
the fact that we're going to, like, according to the promo next week, we're going to basically get into a soap within a soap, which is going to be fun. Like Mary Beth and Deidre looked like they had a great time in that promo. And Abe looked so confused. Abe looked so confused through all of this.
poor Abe, I felt so bad when he was in the wheelchair and rolled out and basically looked like he was so out of it, which he was. And I was like, poor baby, like this is kind of
I do wonder if the amnesia is going to be like a temp, like is going to be a temporary reaction to like the anesthesia, the sedatives he was on, and once he fully comes out of the medication,
but he's
his mem his memories will come back and he's going to be in this woman's house and he's going to be like, what the entire fuck is
But I
happening?
can also see him having amnesia because of the extensive head trauma he's.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, I'm glad they played that beat. Like, as tried as annoyed as we are with the amnesia trope because Ron does it to death, this is an instance where it makes sense because it is not a side effect of a Dr. Rolf miracle drug. It is something that is a byproduct of repeated head trauma.
Yeah. And I wish they could point that out. Maybe they will next week. I don't know.
Well,
But
they've been saying that this is like his second head, this is his second case of head trauma in less than a year.
yeah.
Pauline has been saying that over and over in dialogue. So I think that's kind of their way of telling us that.
One thing I wish this story had though was Lonnie and Theo.
Or even Brandon, so like one of his
Yeah.
kids, like, because
But
that
Lonnie is.
even Nicole, like Nicole, I know she's got her own stuff going on, which we'll talk about in a minute, but there is no reason why she couldn't have at least checked in on Abe or like been on the phone with Brandon to be like, hey bro, I heard what happened to your dad. Are you good?
Wasn't she at the hospital to visit Abe?
No, she was at the hospital.
I know, but didn't she talk about visiting Abe?
Oh, wait. Oh, that's right. She did in the scenes with Sloane. Okay. I wish we had seen that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. Like the people who should be at the hospital were getting references to it in dialogue, which thank you, because same thing happened with John, Marlena, and Roman. But when the story actually airs, the only person there hoping he's okay, aside from Paulina and Chanel, is Rafe.
Yeah, ugh, the show. I just really want them to fix like the interactions with the characters because we're all of them are in their bubbles and
And
it's kind of.
I think the actors have said in various interviews and stuff that a lot of that is because of COVID protocols, because they want to keep everybody islanded to the same story so that God forbid anybody comes up positive for COVID, they can just quickly, like if they have to rearrange filming, they don't necessarily have to halt more than just that story. So I'm hoping with the COVID protocols now being lifted, so it seems that in the next, granted that only just happened now, so we won't see it on screen until the end of the year. But by the end of the year, hopefully things will kind of expand out a little bit now that they don't have as many COVID restrictions.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna take a while, but yeah, it just feels very islanded, but I guess it is what
Yeah.
it is. Back to the
And
story though.
I want to know why she's doing it. Like, is she an Abe Carver super fan? Is she? That's where the major disconnect is. I don't understand why this is happening.
Me neither. I need to, sorry. Me neither. I need to know why she's doing this. It doesn't make sense.
Because even in her apartment, like it would make sense if there were like pictures of Abe everywhere in place of the cats or even with the cats. So it would clue the audience in that, okay, she's a fanatic. And B, it would also help sell the you're my husband line.
Yeah. Even Abe felt like confused. He's sensing that something is off.
Right, because even when she didn't know who Chanel was,
Yeah. I'm talking also about when she brought him home, or quote unquote home.
the look of disgust on
He
his
was like,
face
"What the fuck?" And I was like,
when
"Stuffed
he saw
animal."
all the cats, he was like,
Yeah.
what sort of hell have I tripped into here?
Was it Sasha, Tasha, and
Cats
the
Domino.
triplets? Oh, Lord.
Oh my God, it
This,
was hilarious.
yeah.
I wonder what James must have been thinking when he read these scripts.
I guess he's used to it by now, but still, like, he must have been like, what the fuck is
I
this?
will say the initial scenes when he woke up and had amnesia,
Yeah.
And he was so confused, and he was looking at Chanel like, "What? Who are you?" James did so well with that.
He's so amazing. I really enjoyed those scenes. He was like, you could tell that he was so confused, and James played that very well.
It'll be interesting to see if seeing Marlena and Kayla on the TV, if that will kind of reawaken his memories. I mean, I know it's not Marlena and Kayla, but you know what I mean.
I feel like, again, his kids should be
Yeah.
the deal breaker, so to speak.
Something.
Like that's what gets his memories back.
That'd be like really cool if like no if we got, because I haven't heard if Cameron's been back and we're gonna get a Theo appearance. I would love it if Chanel called Theo and said, "Hey, your dad really needs you. He has amnesia. Can you come home?" In walks Theo and all his memories come back.
Could be good, but
I would just love it. And I would also kind of love if like his memories start coming back in phases, and there's a phase where all he's looking for is Lexi.
that would break my heart when you.
Like, it would break my heart, but it would kind of be really kind of fun stuff for him to play, I think. But I'm really curious to see where this goes,
Same.
because this was absolutely nowhere on my radar at all.
I enjoy it. So it could go all the way to the left, or it could go like straightforward and still play out good. I guess we'll see. I'm enjoying this so far.
And me too. But I think we've pretty much t discussed this one. Shall we move into the next?
Let's continue.
EJ and Stefan vie for Megan and Kristen's votes, but Megan and Kristen have their own plans. I am so ready for Megan and Kristen to kick the boys out on their ass and just take Demare Enterprises over for themselves. Because now, let me preface this by saying, in a perfect world, DeBaer Enterprises in the corporate form would not exist. However, comma, since it does, and we are here, I would much rather the women be running the show than the men, because the fight for DeBaer Enterprises has been nothing but a dick measuring contest for the last, God, 5, 6 years, that I'm so over it and so ready for something different.
The way I do not care about this storyline is not even funny. I do not care.
I
I
will
do
say,
not
I'm
care.
very interested to see the Dimitri of it all, like when Dimitri came waltzing into the DeBaer mansion.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he has an ulterior motive.
Yeah, and Kristen and Megan does too, and Megan was going to want Kristen and Dimitri to get married, according to spoilers.
Ew. Ew.
Yeah, true, ew, but this will be very interesting. I'm mildly curious to see where this goes. And considering,
I mean, you're on your own on this one.
no, that's fine. I will happily be on the island of unpopular opinion over here. But like a few months ago, I was rocking with you in the I don't give a fuck, get this off my screen boat right along with you. But the whole Megan and Kristen of it all has got me intrigued. The whole women in power has me intrigued. I don't really care about Stefan and EJ, though I did get a chuckle at the whole plan to save Damara thing. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I was like,
I was dying. I was like, that had to be a Jamie Gittens touch.
Plan to save
Hilarious.
days. Obvious nod there.
Yeah, absolutely an obvious nod. And that was one of his go-to things on Daytime Confidential. Like, that was always one of the things he talked about whenever he was on there. So I feel like that was totally a Jamie touch. And I busted out laughing, and then had to explain why I was laughing hysterically to my mother, because she had no idea why it was funny.
That's like the only thing I thought it was funny. Let me see what else happened.
I like too when Kristen and Megan were discussing like Kristen wanting custody of Rachel, and how Kristen has gone to multiple lawyers and all of them have said sorry, no deal. And Megan was like, Custody, how pedestrian. Have you thought about kidnapping? I died. Hilarious. Because in actuality, that should be what Kristen does.
Yeah,
That should always be what Kristen did.
but it usually doesn't pan out well for her.
True. But I'm just saying that the fact that she had to be reminded of that and that wasn't something she thought of herself, therein lies the problem with Kristen.
Good point. I have nothing for this story. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to carry this one on your own.
No, that's okay. That's pretty much it because there really wasn't anything else. Though Tony's standing there in the DiMera living room, just kind of watching all of this craziness unfold and planting his flag firmly in Camp EJ was hilarious.
And I such a blabbermouth.
But also, do you feel like Chad is missing from this story? Because I feel like he, as much as he doesn't want to be in that house and wants nothing to do with anything DiMera right now, I would much rather him here
Then with, yeah.
than being Stephanie's purse holder.
I agree. This is where he fits. He could be in the Demera fold because he's a Demera, obviously, but also a fight against it. But hey.
Exactly. Or like being here against his will because he's doing it for his kids because he knows, he's trying to make sure that the kids have a legacy. And that Abby would want him to do what he thinks is best for the kids. That would be his reasoning for showing up. But instead, all he cares about is Stephanie, and it's weird, and it feels like he needs to be mixing it up. And especially since he was so heavily involved in the Megan stuff with Megan there, and like the anger he has at Megan for what almost happened to Kate. And then they've already been laying the groundwork for a Dimitri Chad feud because they did that in his scenes in Greece before they came home. Like they're laying the groundworks there, but they haven't fully pulled the trigger yet, and I don't know why.
Makes no sense, but instead we're stuck with him and the whole Stephanie mess, and I'm just over that.
Yeah. But I think that was basically it for this story. I don't think, because you don't have anything to add, right?
Nope.
All right, now to the big story of the week, saving the biggest for last. After their cover story falls apart, Eric confronts Sloane on the lie. She tells him Nicole is pregnant, and Eric confronts Nicole, and after their talk, he gives permission for the DNA test. After Nicole returns from the hospital, she comes clean to EJ. The test results are in, and all three head to the hospital.
Mark my words, Sloane definitely did not swab Eric's cheeks.
No, she swabbed her own. I said it from the moment I saw that spoiler picture of her holding the swab and Eric sleeping on the bed. This was before the episode aired. I was like, if he says Nicole's name or I love you, Nicole, in his sleep, she is instantly going to swab her own cheek. And then they had him say, I love you, immediately before they late, like immediately
Or they
before
had.
that. So it feels like that was specifically motivation for her to swab her own cheek because the insecurities of her losing somebody that she loves is going to make her do that. And also, this story is moving so quickly in terms of how things are playing out that there has to be a twist because both Eric and EJ know now the paternity test is happening and the paternity tests are already in. And we already know that there's going to be some sort of pregnancy pillow shenanigans coming with Sloane down the line. So we've just got to get there.
I see the potential of making her really entertaining Vixen. I just, or like, maybe not entertaining because the writing has to hold up, but at least like an old school Vixen. And I
Yeah.
can see the potential there. I just do not care. Like I said a few weeks ago, I do not care about this baby, but I see the potential with Sloane.
Yeah. Listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't like the circumstances of how we got here. We're here. Nicole is pregnant. I do not want her to have a third miscarriage because that is just cruel. I can't do it. Having said that, I also really like that all of her secrets are out in the open now, because that's going to be less stress on her through the remainder of her pregnancy.
One thing though, that I've noticed is that I think, and I enjoy Nicole way more outside of her pairings. And I think that's where she shines the most. When, like, I actually enjoyed Nicole going at it back and forth with Sloane this week. And I noticed that as soon as she was with, like, Eric, those scenes weren't bad. But still, like, as soon as she's around Eric or EJ, I feel like they drain her energy. And
And
Nicole
see,
is
to
more enjoyable on her own to me.
now, see, I feel like the draining energy is was literally, because you're not wrong, she did feel drained, but I think that was an intentional story point in these particular scenes because of the weight of all of this is finally being released from
I
her.
mean, I get that, but I'm just talking about the overall picture, if that makes sense. It's not just now. It's been like this way for a few years. Nicole on her own over Nicole in a pairing, because she becomes so disruptive. But I see your point as well. So.
Yeah, but I loved the scenes with Nicole and Eric, and like the way they actually were able to talk like mature adults, and they weren't like fighting and throwing accusations at each other. Because when she said, like, I didn't even know who the father was, and I didn't want to be the one to tell you it could be you and then take it away from you if you weren't, and then God forbid I lose this baby.
Yeah, those scenes were good.
Oh God, like, as problematic as aspects of this story are, it's giving Arion Zucker some great material to work with.
That I
You
agree
could,
with.
because even in the scenes with EJ, like EJ instantly got mad that he didn't know and he started putting the pieces together. And then the minute she said, like, if something happens, like she mentioned something happening to the baby and not even knowing if she's going to carry it to full term, and EJ instantly softened
Yeah,
because.
I really enjoyed the acting. Like I said, the story is not a story I'm invested in, but the acting was good. So I see what you mean. I actually liked her acting in the hospital. That was really
Oh
good.
God, when Eric and EJ went into their dick measuring contest yet again, that seems to be the theme of the episode this week, because that seems to be happening all over Salem. And she's like, both of you stop it. Can't you see I need you both to be here for this? And they both kind of looked like, my bad.
I mean, I'm glad she put them in their place, because that's not the time or place.
No. And it's about time that somebody did it on this show, because it's something that happens whenever there's a triangle in play. The woman always becomes the object of a fight in a scene, and it never gets called out. And it finally did, and I was like, oh, thank you. But yeah, I 100% fully expect for that test to come back and say that EJ is the father, but I don't actually think that that's going to be legit.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Especially the rapid way the story's going, like you said.
And Sloane is acting a little too shifty for my liking, because like every time, and the fact that Erica did not give her a new sample, like, you know, now you can easily just re-swab your cheek, give her a new sample.
That's something I picked up on as well.
So why are we using the sample that was gotten under false pretenses when you now know? Just all things are lining up, and all signs point to mess. And it's mess that I'm here for, honestly.
Yeah, I'm interested in some parts of this story. The overall pregnancy, no. But yeah.
And I will say, I like that Eric and Nicole are actually like front burner in a story that feels like it's their story. It, which is not something we've had in years past.
That's true.
Because when they were together before, you know, before he left in 2020, it felt like they were supporting characters in stories that should have been about them, or at least about him. He should have had a way more prominent role in the Baby Switch than he did. And then, you know, they were supporting Allie through her pregnancy, but that wasn't really about them either. So this is something that's about them, problems and all, and Lord knows there's a lot of problems, but I do like that they're front burner on display. And I love when Greg and Ari just get to be in scenes together and just remind you
They have fans.
why they have fans, why this couple has endured for as long as it has, because Greg and Ari have a magic together that neither one have with anybody else. And when they get the chance to let that shine, it's so good. But I'm really very curious to see exactly where the story goes. And now we can move on into another news. Let's see what we got. Hold on. Johnny and Wendy's date is crashed by Leo. Harris moves to Salem. Chloe takes a job at The Spectator. Brady hires Alex at Basic Black. Chad and Stephanie reconnect, and Bonnie finds out that Sarah's pregnant. Since it's just both of us, we can kind of touch on all of these. Where do you want to start?
You pick.
Right. I will start with Brady hiring Alex at Basic Black. I kind of love this.
I blink and miss it, or did he actually ask him on screen?
He did in the square.
Okay. Okay, I definitely missed it.
Yeah, what happened? Like, they ran into each other in the square after Alex talked to Gwen, and after no, Alex didn't talk to Gwen. After I think after Brady talked to Gwen and tried to get Xander not to hire Chloe, she left and said ship has sailed. Then Alex came up and they started talking. Oh, you know what? No, it was Alex and Gwen, because Alex tried to get Gwen to hire him for the position that Xander gave Chloe. And then she said, sorry, the position's been filled. And so then Alex and Brady, he ran into Brady and they were talking, and Brady's like, the best thing I ever did was get off the Titan CEO treadmill, because, you know, Victor's been dangling CEO of Titan as a carrot for the last 30 years. And if you want a job at Basic Black, I have one for you. We didn't see him say yes until he came back in. And then Justin got Maggie to agree to give Alex his job back. And Alex was like, sorry, because I already have one. And I'm re
I remembered the last part. I just forgot the first part of
Yeah.
Brady asking him.
Yeah, a lot of things were happening in the square, so I get why that was kind of easy to miss. But I'm actually really intrigued by this, because I think Eric and Rob work really well together. So I'm really gonna enjoy potentially seeing them. And honestly, I want Alex working at a place that can appreciate him. Because ever since Maggie became CEO, it feels like Alex is her punching bag. And
Yeah, I'm kind of, I'm not Alex's biggest fan, but I'm kind of over Maggie as the CEO. I was even before this started. It's just stupid.
like, I don't mind Maggie as the CEO, but like, Alex has done way worse than half the people who have had this job. So that's where you like lose me, because I don't understand. It feels weird, but honestly, sometimes the best things that happen to Kiriakis characters are getting out from under the Kiriakis umbrella. It happened with Brady, it happened with Sunny, and could very well happen with Alex. Because there was a time when Sunny fully embraced his Kyriakis and wanted to be a Titan CEO, and nobody particularly loved that version of Sunny.
Wasn't that in like 2017? Yeah, it was bad.
And the same thing happened with Brady. Nobody likes Brady Kyriakis. Nobody wants Brady Kyriakis back. Getting him out from under that orbit did wonders for his character, and I'm wondering if Alex is going to be the same thing.
Yeah, it could be.
Is there one of these that you want to pick?
To be honest, no.
Not even the Bonnie finds out Sarah's pregnant stuff? I have to say, I did enjoy those scenes. I'm ready for Sarah to come home and for Xander to find out that he's going to be a father, and for that half of the story to play out.
Yeah, she should return. I've honestly forgotten what half of what Xander did. I know he kidnapped
He kidnapped Susan
and Bonnie.
and Bonnie. And Susan died because of it.
I know
And
that,
then
but what about the?
he used Gwen to help cover it up.
That's what I forgot about. I was like, why is Gwen?
Yeah,
Oh.
because when things were going to hell, he called Gwen for help. Gwen got Leo to dress up in the clown mask so that everybody would believe that the kidnapper wasn't Xander.
It was 6 months
And
ago. I should have remembered.
a lot has happened and it's barely aired, so it's okay. And then Sarah, and like Sarah said, like it's the Gwen of it all, the fact that he got back in bed with Gwen, figuratively speaking, and then literally, after everything that she did to Sarah, that was the hardest pill for her to swallow.
Everyone's pregnant at this point. But yeah, I can see why Sarah didn't not want anything to do with him.
Oh, I don't even blame her for keeping it a secret. Like I'm
I just, if we're Rex keeping a pregnancy from someone does not make sense for his character.
what do you mean? I'm confused.
Because remember when Mimi kept the abortion from Rex?
Okay,
Why would
true, but what he. He
it's
doesn't
not
like
the same.
Xander. He doesn't
Yes,
like
I
Xander.
know.
He has no horse in this. The person he cares about is Sarah.
But again, I wish we could see his stance a bit. Maybe it's changed over 20 years. I don't know. But still, like, it doesn't make sense for him.
I think it does from the lens of he'll do
He's
anything to help make Sarah happy because he's in love with her.
Ugh, why? We were doing so good when Bonnie mentioned Mimi. No, but yeah, I did enjoy that. I don't have much to say about Sarah's pregnancy, but I enjoyed I was like thinking, did Bonnie and Rex interact the first time around? And they did.
Yeah,
I
they
mean,
did.
when not Rex and not Eric Winter's Rex. But yeah, they did.
Well, yeah, because the whole reason that he found out that Emily was his is because Bonnie was using her to pretend that that was her child with Lucas.
I remembered that. So yeah. I wonder where they're gonna go from here because I know they're gonna tease Nicole and not Nicole, Chloe and Xander a bit. And then
Which I'm okay with because Paul and Nadia have really good chemistry, and I'm surprised how much I enjoy them.
but it also feels like it's going nowhere because,
Oh,
spoiler
yeah.
alert, if we're allowed to say it.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, if I know where you're going, because that has not been confirmed yet.
Yeah.
And
But
the person who is claiming that she, I'll just say it, the
no,
person
I'm
that.
just saying, no, actually, it's also from her Instagram post. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's gonna make sense in the long run, but we'll see. But I'm curious where they're she's all obviously gonna come back to town at some point.
I wonder what brings her to town, unless she comes back when Victor dies.
Oh wow, that's a long ass time.
Not really. We're in June. His funeral is in August.
But also this, does this make sense for Sarah? I think
Does what
it's
make sense for Sarah?
keeping a pregnancy.
Hello, she did it with Eric. This is something
Oh
she's
yeah,
done
that's
before.
true. That's true.
We're just getting to actually see it on screen because we don't have a time jump this time.
That is true. I forgot about the story. But still, she was heartbroken when she found out that her baby died. So again,
Yeah, but Xander is also the reason that she thought that that child was hers.
I
And
know.
so I think everything that Xander
The
did.
motive is very, I get it, but I feel like it's this is all over the place, but the story has not played out.
Yeah, I think it's all over the place because she left.
Yeah.
And she hasn't, she's been just living her best life in Chicago and trying to pretend that Xander doesn't exist. And I think that's why she's staying away, because I don't think she can keep the secret if she stays in Salem. I don't think she'll have the stomach to deny him his child to his face, even if she's well motivated to do so. There is a reason she's been staying out of town this entire time.
Yeah.
But something's going to bring her home, and it is likely going to be Victor's funeral, which is only a couple of months away at this point. Which means she's either going to be coming back with baby or about to pop.
With that bump, bro.
Listen, I don't go by bump size on this show because she was 3 months pregnant and looked 9 months pregnant the last time.
But still, it looks so weird.
Oh yeah, well they never get the bumps right. So that's unfortunately, normal at this point. But I feel like Victor, her coming home to support Maggie through Victor dying is going to be her entrance back into Salem, unless something happens before then, but I don't see that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's probably gonna be for Victor's funeral. I don't see how else she's gonna return unless Bonnie blabs to everyone or blabs somehow to Justin, and then it somehow ends up with Xander hearing. But I guess we'll
That could
see.
be. I'm intrigued to see where this goes.
I'm not, but you do. I don't care about Sarah and Xander.
Then the one other thing I want to kind of cover is that Johnny and Wendy's date is crashed by Leo. And I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. If this is all we have for Leo Stark, then please leave Salem.
And take Gwen with you, your bestie.
I wouldn't be opposed to that, but the reality of that actually happening, I doubt it. But I didn't mind Johnny and Wendy's date at the small bar. It was kind of cute. I did like that they kind of made mention of the fact that Johnny is unemployed and he kind of needs to get on that and fix that. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit bitter that we're doing a Johnny is competing for the attention of, that Wendy is going to be dating Johnny and Trip. But when we did this with Johnny, Allie, and Chanel, we barely got the dating both portion. We didn't even get the dating both.
I
Allie and
mean,
Johnny made their interest very clear, and then Chanel was just stuck forever and couldn't make a decision.
we've talked about why they kind of did this, especially with Allie and Chanel. Because it has come across as queerbaiting. So already there, they were not going to invest in them. But it never made sense as a whole to not show this whole triangle. But in the overall sense, I concerning this story, I have checked out when it comes to Wendy. She was one of my favorite characters. The first time we saw her in Beyond Salem, I was like, oh, this girl is like entertaining, I'm intrigued. And then when she came to Salem, like the main show, I was rooting for her. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? ENTM nod there.
But she lost me quickly. And it's mainly because of this pairing, I guess. Which is wild, because y'all remember when I enjoyed them early on. And then it just went south. I lost interest. Johnny is a loser, so I don't care. And Wendy at this point is kind of a lost cause. They can fix it. It's easy to fix. I don't think they will fix it. So here I am, not caring. But it's wild. I do to circle back to your point. I feel like they should have focused on that triangle because you have already the potential mess there. You have Johnny and Allie, two twins wanting the same girl, and one of them is bisexual. Like the mess and the potential in the story, like soapy storyline was there. And they slept
And
on it, man.
it just never got played to the full potential that it could have been. And yet we're pivoting Johnny into a triangle where he's vying for the attention of a girl with another guy.
Yeah.
And that gets to be played out.
I'm just not shocked anymore. I'm
No,
so
it's
checked out. I'm not gonna kid you. I fast forward their scenes because I'm so fucking bored.
I don't blame you because it wasn't exactly like it wasn't bad, but it wasn't super engaging either.
Yeah. It is what it is.
But that is basically it. Now we can go into our praise or shade segment. Are you praising or shading this week?
I'm shading. Y'all need to fix these damn pregnancy pads on the show,
Oh,
especially if we're gonna see
that work.
two, one real and one fake pregnancy. I don't know. We'll see. Fix the damn pads or whatever you call them, pillows.
Yeah, I'm hoping that because Ari Zucker has actually
Lindsay Mann.
but not well no, because Lindsay Gottfried I think has been too, but I think because she's had so much experience playing pregnant on this show.
Yeah.
That her pillow might be a little better
I mean,
when it gets there.
Sal didn't have a lot of experience, especially not on soaps, with playing a pregnant. I mean, she played Lonnie pregnant the first time in 2018, but she wasn't that far along, like 6 weeks. No. 6 months, sorry. But
6 months, I was like, that's not quite.
the pregnancy pillow was never that big. But like the second time around, it actually looked like she was pregnant, you know?
And I think they needed to do that because it was twins. Like they needed to pay more attention because it was
I
twins. But
think
like with.
also Sal was very aware of the wardrobe. Like
Yeah.
she you know, she was all into that and like having her character be dressed, blah blah blah, based on whatever situation or story or blah 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 was going on. You know, I'm not gonna drag on forever about that, but it looked on point and even afterward. But ever since then, y'all been messing these pregnancy pillows up, and it's so exhausting to
I wonder if it's just because the actors don't correct them. I feel like Ari might, but I don't know that Lindsay
like.
did.
It looked when Sierra was pregnant, it looked like she had swallowed a watermelon, and it looked so weird. And
Well, her
then,
and it was weird. Her pregnancy pillow one day was really good and one day was really bad. Like with hers, they flipped back and forth. Some days they nailed it, some days they nailed it, some days they didn't.
it was very hit and miss. And it's gonna. Like this pregnancy is giving me the same vibe, and I know it's only one day, but she, whew, we're in for some ugly pregnancy pillows going forward. I have a feeling, and like considering that the last time we got a pregnancy pillow that looked good was 3 years ago.
Which is crazy that it was 3 years, but that's a whole other conversation.
But yeah, fix it. My eyes cannot take that. I know we're poor, but it's not that expensive. Y'all spend $1,000 on the blazer. That's what they did
Yeah.
last week on like Kegel's outfit or something. So you
Oh my
can
God, that's insane.
something like that. I saw that. Like
No,
the
I know, but it's still absolutely
Yeah, so
insane.
y'all can do better with these pregnancy pillows. I said it last year. I know for sure I said it last year. So there's no excuses.
I think I'm going to jump on the shade thing too, and I'm just going to shade Colin Bedford. I'm going to continue to shade Colin Bedford until he is off of my screen because he is just very unpleasant to watch. I don't like this. He ruined this entire revenge story for me. And I was intrigued when it first started, but then he's just so not what he needs to be in order to make this work that it's just unappealing, and I need him to be gone very quickly. That is my shade. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, actually, I don't.
All right, well, we pretty much ran through the week, so this has been your another episode of Soap Dish Sale and Style. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.